One of life's greatest mysteries that no one really can solve is death. Every belief system, every religion, every individual has their own beliefs about what exactly happens when you die. Different cultures teach people as they grow up different things about what really happens. But can we really know until we experience it ourselves? Welcome to another intriguing episode of All Things Mysterious, the podcast where all the realms of true crime, supernatural, and the unexplained converge. I'm your host, Jordan.
I'm Matt.
We're ready to plunge into today's fascinating mysteries. Let's dive right in. For today's episode, I was able to interview several people who had near-death experiences, so that we can compare their experiences with popular belief systems and explore what may actually happen after death. The most common beliefs are heaven, hell, reincarnation, or nothing. Obviously, a very common belief is in the Christian gods, heaven and hell. When you pass on, if you are forgiven of sin, you can enter heaven with God, the ultimately beautiful, perfect place of no pain, but if not, you enter hell with Satan, where you have nothing but pure suffering for all eternity.
I just had to think how much I want to piss people off. So internal suffering, huh?
For a lot of people, yes. But that is a really common belief system. I would say that is probably the most common.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Christians are the majority in the world, I would say. I think they're closely tied with Muslim. I don't know.
It's pretty tight. And obviously, I simplified it quite a bit for this episode, because it will be a little bit long. But I'm not sure if it's something that I necessarily believe in. But it's also something that has been taught to me since I was so young that it's, I don't know.
Yeah, obviously it's definitely really simplified because there's a lot of religion out there. Not all of them believe in heaven and hell, but for simplicity, I'll accept it.
Yeah, I really had to go simple on this one.
And maybe if I'm feeling a little frisky later on, I'll tell everybody what my view is on it.
I have certain beliefs on it. I do. And I'm sure that other people have differing beliefs, but I'm sure other people believe the same things that we do. But the facts are that no one really knows what happens.
That's the honest answer. You can believe what you want to believe, but ultimately nobody knows what actually happens until it happens. By that point, you can't really tell anybody.
Exactly. Yeah. So everyone's naturally curious.
Yeah. And I will say near-death experiences, I'm highly skeptical. Just because of what the dying process actually is and what happens.
There is quite the variety.
But that's the other thing. That's why I'm skeptical too. If near-death experiences were true, and not saying they're not, but if they were true, wouldn't they all be the same?
See, and that's exactly what gets me. If it was a clear-cut one thing or the other, you would think they would all be the same thing. But you'll find out later in the episode, it's just all over the place.
No, just know that I'm going in this very skeptical more than usual, so I'll be looking to tear this apart as quickly as possible.
That's what I expect out of you. That's perfectly fine today.
I usually give you the little bit of benefit of the doubt. It's one of those topics you don't want to talk about, but you need to talk about type thing, like making out a will.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, but something that you're also curious about, but you don't want to bring up at the same time.
Oh, we'll see how this goes.
Another popular belief is reincarnation. When you die, you're born into another life. I've heard multiple theories. You can be born into another person or animal and have many different lives. Most people don't remember their past lives, but some do when they're young, as evidenced in one of our past episodes, The Pollock Sisters.
When you were first talking about this, that's exactly what I was about the episode I did on The Pollock Sisters. Which, to me, reincarnation makes a little more sense, but it still doesn't really explain everything.
I kind of agree, and I like the idea behind it. Like, you're reborn again into another life. And that's kind of beautiful to me.
But if you really think about it, let's say there's only a certain amount of souls in the world. That would mean the population would stay the same constantly.
See, and that's what gets me too, because my next point, we'll go into that just a little bit, but like, where does it come from? Are new souls born? Where does that come from? It's a little bit bizarre to me, but I really do like the idea of reincarnation and the idea that after this life ends, I'll come back as something or somebody else, which part of me is, that's nice. And part of me is, I have to do this again.
I was thinking that someone else gets to deal with you after that.
I'm really annoying sometimes.
One Jordan is enough in a lifetime.
Totally fair.
But reincarnation, I obviously believe in. That was one of my first, I think, actually, that was my first episode that I did.
Yeah, it was the first episode that you released.
Yeah, because you did the first two, and then I did the third one, although we recorded them all at the same time, but still.
Yeah, but it was the first one that you covered.
Obviously, I believe in it, because I really enjoyed looking and researching that episode. Do I honestly think that's what happens? I don't know, obviously.
The hardest fact is that most of the time, if people remember it, they're children. It's difficult to get fact out of them, and you can't always trust what they're saying. So do you trust that or do you not? And a lot of the time, not even necessarily in the case of the Pollock sisters, but there are other cases that I've looked up as well where they stop remembering by the time they're 5 or 6 entirely. And that's the time when your language skills really start to develop and you can't really explain from there.
Yeah. And reincarnation kind of explains deja vu too. Because I've had that severely bad. The one time that I really truly couldn't explain is I was working down in Austin, Texas. First time I'd ever been there in my life, in the city. We went to this little like walking trail by this bridge. Never been there before. And I just got deja vu that I'd been in that exact spot before, but never been there before. So where did that memory come from?
Yeah, it's entirely fair. And that could be a reincarnation kind of experience, but we will honestly never know.
Which that kind of ticks me off a little bit, because that means at one point I probably lived in Texas in one of my past lives, and that really sucks.
Could have just visited. You don't.
Texas is better left talked about, not visited.
You're going to get so much hate for that.
I am, and I don't care.
Oh, you just enjoy making people angry.
I do, especially for stupid reasons. Like, what does Texas actually have? Nothing. They don't got any theme parks, really. They don't have anything fun. It's just an open farmland mix for Dallas. And then you got stupid, ridiculous traffic.
Traffic is terrible. The last major one we'll cover is that after death, you just cease to exist. But where does your energy go? Does your soul just die? If the law of conservation of energy states that energy cannot be created or destroyed, where does that energy go?
All right. As someone who's scientifically minded, we know that no energy can be created or destroyed. It's basically just reshaped or recycled, that would be a better term for it.
Yeah, it's a good term.
Before you even get to the death question, you got to figure out if there's such a thing as a soul. Because if there is no soul, and I know this kind of simplifies it a lot, but we're basically just meat bags with memories.
Yeah, but we still obviously are energy. We're all still energy. And so at that point, when we die, like, it doesn't just go away. It still has to be turned into something else. So at that point, like, where does it go? Because it doesn't just poof.
No, it gets absorbed into the ground, and then trees and plants, and then people eat the plants, animals eat the plants.
I guess that's fair. And that's more or less an atheist view, which is fair.
A lot of religions have the circle of life.
Yeah.
It's a basic concept that's been around for a long time. Technically, even Christians and every other religion in the world has the same kind of basis, because no one will disagree that once our body's dead, it ends up going into the ground and then gets absorbed into the ground and all that stuff.
Nutrients for everything else.
So that part's not, that's not under debate. And which is why I said that we got to talk about the soul, because that's the actual debate part of this. What actually happens to our consciousness? Does it go to heaven or hell, or is it just gone?
Right. And I kind of thought at this point, is that where spirits come into play? Like the paranormal?
Yeah. See, that's what it's hard for me, because I don't necessarily believe in like heaven or hell or anything like that, or an afterlife, just because it doesn't make logical sense to me. But I know ghosts exist because I've seen one before. Where do they come from?
And so, I don't know. It's weird. It makes you wonder, okay, so we have A and B. Where is C? Or is there an in-between?
Or is there something that we just haven't even, we don't even, can't even comprehend yet?
Probably.
We've talked about the multiverse before, right?
Oh, yes. Loved it.
So let's say that you got multiple Earths stacked on top of each other. And in order for them to occupy the same space, they would have to be vibrating at a different frequency, right? Theoretically. But let's say they're also shifted a little bit where their timelines are in different points. A lot of times when ghosts are seen, they're like early 1900s ghosts or older. You don't really see a ghost from this turn of the century type thing. So what if it's just the two Earths collide in a different time point? And that's the ghost we actually see.
It's a very interesting theory.
I don't spend a lot of time sleeping.
It's true.
Ultimately, you've got to break this down into two different things. What happens to your body and what happens to your consciousness is the two parts of this. What happens to your body, nobody's disputing and disagreeing with, because we can see what happens. We know what happens on that part. But what happens to our consciousness? Does it just cease to exist, or does it go to a different plane of existence? Or do we just keep reliving our life over and over again?
It's an interesting theory, but we won't know.
I like the reincarnation thing just because when you're dying, they talk about seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. And that tunnel is just you being reborn into your new life.
We will see what the stories that I am about to discuss.
I like that theory the best. My theories, like always, are the best.
Okay, so here are our near-death experience stories. This is person number one. And I quote, "So I had been kind of sick, overworked, sleep-deprived, skipping meals, dehydrated, all that. Inhale a frozen meal that had been like a whole day's sodium limit in serving. I run across the building to my office for a small meeting I'm hosting. I plop down and going over reports, and I'm craning my neck to read upside down like you do. A combination of high blood pressure, exhaustion, and apparently putting strain on my neck all combined to cause an ischemic stroke, where my brain was starved of oxygen and I started to black out. I knew it was happening, said the room was getting blurry, and I needed a minute. I warned the three other people that I might black out, and I did. My brain was slowly dying as it suffocated from a cut-off blood flow. I was out for a little longer than a minute, I was told, but of course it felt like nothing to me and hours to everyone else. Then, apparently, a combination of falling back into a slump and relaxing the tension due to being unconscious was just enough to clear the blockage enough to allow my blood through. I had, in a sense, put myself into a chokehold, and then once I passed out, I released it. They called 911, but in the time it took them to get there, I had woke back up. They were obviously super worried, but the weird thing was, I felt amazing. Like I had just woken up from a full night's sleep and was wide awake. I found out that my neck wasn't the only thing that relaxed, and I was sitting in a very ruined chair in my own mess. But other than that feeling of grossness, I was better than I had felt in weeks. All I remember was saying that I was getting blurry and might go out. Then, like a snap later, I was back awake, but with people crowding me. The EMTs got there a few minutes later and asked questions like what day it was, and I was like, it's XX day, my birthday was XX days ago, and if you tell me your birthday, I'll tell you how many days it was away. I was super mentally clear. They wanted to take me in for observation, but I really didn't want to get wheeled out on a stretcher smelling of poo in front of my whole team and the building. I ended up getting an emergency blanket from security and a roll of paper towels, and had them shut my office door, cleaned up as much of the mess as I could, and had a friend help me sneak out wrapped in a blanket, wasted town, carrying my pants out in a wastebasket trash bag. I walked out and two buildings away to where I lived and hopped in the shower. I was just so energized, cleaned my apartment up after the shower, stayed up 12 more hours, then scheduled a doctor's visit. Later got a scan that showed the narrowed neck arteries, and they diagnosed that part of that part above through interference. Since then, I have been fine on 6 hours of sleep, lower appetite has caused me to lose weight, haven't been sick at all. Just a fluke where my body tried to kill itself, and then a fluke where it stopped and changed its mind. And during it, my brain was screaming for help, but it warned me it was about to happen. Then it's like I hard rebooted, power off, install a new patch, then power back on better than ever. Weirdest thing I've ever experienced. So there are a few thoughts that I have on this one. Obviously, there's a few different things I think that could have caused them to feel this way. If everything cleared up, they probably would have felt a whole lot better. But at the same time, I don't know if there's a medical cause that would make you feel that much better almost instantly.
It's not unheard of, because obviously it could have had a blockage and then cleared itself out for the most part. And obviously that wouldn't really show any kind of, traces, basically. But I don't know. I did not know anything about this episode before I came in today. I didn't know that Jordan was interviewing people. So I don't even know who these people, she hasn't given me any names. So I'm actually having a hard time with this because I'm trying not to be super disrespectful.
I promised them we would be nice.
You made a promise that I can't keep.
I will throat punch you.
No, I try to be nice for the most part. But doesn't mean I'm not going to do everything I can to debunk this. And holy crap, what is going on with my voice?
And the thing is, that's what we do here. I told them that we look into all of the things. We question everything.
And on a lot of stuff, I'm more of a skeptic than Jordan is. But on some things, Jordan's more of a skeptic than I am. So it works out, honestly.
It does. That's why we do this podcast so well together.
But so obviously when you're dying or your blood gets cut off from your brain, and obviously this person didn't experience brain death because otherwise you won't be interviewing them. And that's the other clarification I think we need to make here is that there's actually two types of death. There's heart death, basically, where your heart stops beating. That one you can come back from. That's the one where they'll typically can resuscitate you. Then there's brain death. Once brain death happens,
you're
gone. There's nothing they can do. They can bring you back and put you on life support, which has happened, but you just have zero brain function.
Yep.
Okay, now this is going to be really controversial. Just because you have a beating heart doesn't mean that you're living.
No, I think that a lot of people are going to agree with you on that, too.
A lot of people are going to disagree with me. I'm not going to mention it, but there's all kinds of debates. Yeah.
But when my dad passed away, he had a beating heart, but he was not physically alive. He wasn't mentally there. He had no brain functions at all. He was gone. He was not the dad that we knew. He was gone. And we knew that, which was absolutely gut-wrenching and it was horrible. But his brain function wasn't there. And we could tell.
It's the weirdest thing ever. How they can get your heart beating again, but you just have no brain function. Obviously, you've got low brain function because there's enough to beat your heart and other functions of your body. But that's just basic stuff. Like, you have no brain function other than that. And that's a distinction that I think we need to make here, because obviously all these people have went through heart death, as we'll call it. None of them ever went through brain death.
Yeah, or came really close to heart death or brain death and came back.
Yeah. Technically, there has been people who have zero brain function who've come back.
It's so incredibly rare.
Yeah. But then you might ask yourself, did they actually experience brain death or was it just like brain hibernation? There's a big distinction that we got to make there too. This one's interesting in the fact that they don't remember it, really. But I like how they say it's like a brain reboot. Tells me that whoever this is probably really good with technology and computers.
It was really relatable to me. I was like, yeah, I can relate to that.
God, maybe I need to do that just so my brain would reboot. It's working on old software.
I need an upgrade.
But I like that because it's like when we sleep. Sometimes you remember your dreams. Sometimes it's just like you go to sleep and then you wake up.
And then sometimes you have the strangest dream in the history of ever. And you still remember that 3 years later because you're just like, that was the weirdest thing I've ever thought in my entire life. What happened?
Man, I get these like really like super weird dreams. Like as soon as I wake up, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
Yep.
And then 5 minutes later, I totally forget what the dream was about.
There's been like two dreams I think I've ever had in my life that I actually still remember. The rest of them I remember for a couple minutes. I'm like, nope, it's gone.
It's my brain is just purging that because it's so weird. I will wake up and I'll be like, what the fuck is wrong with me?
Really makes you wonder what happens in there.
If you guys think I'm weird now, you should see my dreams. I don't want to see those. But it's really fascinating to me. And I love hearing stories like this from people. I don't necessarily believe them all the time. Because the one thing that we all have in common is people lie at some point in their life. Or exaggerate or embellish. But I do enjoy hearing these stories because it's just fascinating to me. And honestly, this story is more believable to me just because they don't remember anything.
I will tell you, I believe every one of these stories. They are all very believable, in my opinion. And I purposefully wanted stories that are very real.
I better be careful because I guarantee one of these people is probably someone that I know too. And they'll probably hurt me.
I don't know. I don't know if you know any of these people.
I don't know. There's a lot of people that you know that I do know, too, that I didn't know that you knew.
It's weird.
But, you know, this one is more, I think, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most believable, 1 being not believable at all. I would say this is probably a 6.
6, Matthew.
That's high for me.
You don't believe anything I tell you.
everything you tell me is a one.
That's fair.
No, but like I said, I'm really skeptical on near-death experiences and death in general. So for a six, that's really high for me.
There's a few more coming.
That's like a passing grade. Bring them on.
Person number two. I was 17 and had been out of my mom's house a couple of years, sort of bouncing around with friends and my boyfriend's house. Finally got a little above ground apartment with him. Then we had a bad breakup. And of course, to teenage me, it's the end of the world. And I tried to end it with too many pills. I passed out pretty quickly, but was texting him, I guess. And he got concerned and called in a wellness check. I do kind of remember trying to unlock the door for first responders, but I was out of it and in the way, and they hit me in the head when they kicked in the door. My mom beat the ambulance to the hospital and saw them unload me and said I was trying to get out of the restraints, but I don't remember that. They told her I did get out of the restraints a couple of times. So I was in the small town hospital. I flew a few hours, I guess. Then they flew me to Wichita, where I was in the ICU a few days, I think. But when I was still out of it, in Independence, before they flew me, I had this weird, vague feeling someone had covered my nose and mouth at one point, possibly trying to end me. When I brought it up to my mom, she said I was having this weird saliva coming out of my mouth, and she kept wiping it, so maybe that's what I felt. After I had asked her more in-depth questions, all she really remembered about it was the pressure on her mouth, which I believe could have been a few things, possibly saliva or an oxygen mask. But what if it wasn't?
Okay, I'm about to put another content warning on the front of this video.
All of my episodes have content warning. Also, she gave me permission to laugh about the fact that the first responders literally just kicked the door straight into her head and gave her a black eye.
To be fair, that's what they had to do.
It is, but we're here to save you. Wham. She has a great sense of humor.
So obviously, first of all, killing yourself for another person is never a good idea.
No. And I do understand, though, when you're a teenager, everything feels like the end of the world.
Oh, I'm not saying I don't understand. Trust me, I 110% understand, but I just have to say it. I gotta be a responsible adult here.
It's not. And thankfully, she is doing a million times better now. And that makes all of us very happy.
I don't know her, but I'm glad she's here, too.
But the most interesting thing about her story to me was that she really didn't feel anything except for like pressure on her mouth. And it was really weird because I was thinking through it. Now, granted, it was not me in this situation. Obviously, it was very clear. I'll be the first person to say I have not been in a near-death experience. But I would not think that even any amount of saliva would feel like a pressure on your face. I would think maybe an oxygen mask, but that would put pressure around your face, not like directly on it, like around your mouth and nose. But
so the only thing that I could think of is obviously if she's on the verge of dying, her nerves are going to be shooting like crazy. So she may feel things that aren't actually happening, or it may intensify feelings that so maybe it was oxygen mask.
I had not thought of that. That's entirely true.
Which is another reason why near-death experiences are hard to, because you almost got, and I don't want to sound mean, but you almost got to get rid of the noise. Because a lot of things that are said are going to be your body, like your nerves firing and your brain sending false signals. A lot of weird stuff happens when you're in that dying phase.
Oh, I 100% agree, which is one of the reasons that I wanted to cover something like this, because it's such a weird mystery that no one truly will understand until we go through it ourselves. And then we will all at some point understand. That's bizarre to me.
And I think ultimately, no matter what you believe in, even if you do believe in an afterlife, it's still got to be like the most scary thought to actually be dying, because you don't know what's going to happen. And by the time you do know, it's obviously too late to do anything.
It's just crazy to me.
I hate death. Honestly, when I was younger, death used to scare the crap out of me. Still does in many ways, but it's just one of those things where it fascinates me. It really does.
There's a reason I did this episode. It also fascinates me to an extent anyway.
I'm glad you finally did this one. You've been saying for a long time that you wanted to do it.
I know. I finally was like, no, this is the time. This is the time.
You said she took pills?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, taking pills does a lot of strange things to your body.
And she did say that she had slimy saliva all over her face, which probably was some sort of, I'm going to say maybe some sort of vomit. That's entirely possible. Or I know they intubated her, so it could have been some sort of intubation. It's difficult to say because obviously we weren't in that position, but at the same time, it almost makes me wonder if it was something more pulling her under, or she thinks that it was. And even then, that's something to think about, because at that point, your brain is processing and you're believing that it's something pulling you under. And in a weird way, this is going to sound a little bit bizarre. I'm so proud of her for fighting out of it.
So have you ever taken sleeping pills or had surgery where they gave you anesthesia?
Yeah.
That's the feeling you get, that like the anesthesia or the pills are pulling you under. At least that's the feeling I get every time I'm put under or taking sleeping pills.
I've only had surgery once. It was when I was really little. No, I had surgery when I was, I think, for my wisdom teeth getting removed. But even then, I don't know.
Yeah. I felt that a lot, especially like even now when I take some sleeping pills, like some really strong ones that I've been taking in a long time.
See, I have chronic insomnia and I take a bunch of sleep pills all the time to try and sleep, and it still doesn't work because I more or less need to be hit in the head with a hammer to sleep, and it still doesn't work.
I sleep for like usually 6 hours a day if I'm lucky until 2-3 weeks, and then I sleep for 15 hours.
Touché.
But I've had that feeling before. So I know I can almost actually feel that feeling, because when I was younger, I had to take pills for migraines, and these things would knock me out. Like, I could literally stand it up, and as soon as these pills hit,
gone.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure at one point I did actually fall asleep standing up, but I can visualize that feeling of being like pulled under, not death, but obviously sleep, and you like try to fight against it.
That makes sense.
And I assume the pills she took were probably sleeping pills.
I have no idea. She did not say, and I did not ask.
Most likely, my guess is sleeping pills, just because that's the more common one. I could be 100% wrong, but I'm going to assume, since we don't know for sure.
Yeah, I didn't ask. I didn't get into it.
Because that makes sense to me, that the feeling of you're getting pulled under, which I will agree with you 100%, that's impressive that she fought against that, because that's hard.
It is, and I'm really proud of her for that. Because obviously she was in an incredibly low mental state, and she fought herself out of that. Even though she was feeling incredibly down, she still wanted to live, and I'm proud of her.
But for her to actually do it is impressive. Now, did she actually experience anything otherworldly? I don't think so. I thought it was just her brain. Because obviously at that point she would have adrenaline, which that's probably what actually saved her, is the adrenaline.
I agree. It could have been. I mean, she even managed to fight out of the restraints.
Yeah.
Which is super impressive to me.
Yeah, she definitely has the will to live, and she's definitely impressive. But does it prove there's an afterlife? No.
Don't know. I have several more stories.
Impressiveness, I give this one an 8. Believability for an afterlife, I give it a 3.
That's fair.
But very impressive nonetheless.
Person number 3 was in a car accident. This one, I spoke to her on the phone, so I paraphrased a little bit. She was entirely unconscious in a coma-like state, and her husband, who had previously been murdered, and her father that had passed, both greeted her and told her she had a choice. She had a kid that needed her. Per the first responders, she was fairly stable, right up until the point where they removed her daughter from the car, and that point, her vitals went crazy. Now, they got her out of the car and into the hospital, and she ended up being okay, but they warned her family that her mental state would most likely be that of a toddler if she ever came back. Luckily, after months, she was able to make it through, and she's mostly herself. She isn't exactly the same person as she was before the accident. She's highly emotional, more confrontational, and some of this could be because of the traumatic brain injury, but is it also because of coming back from death?
I'm sorry, but when you said more emotional, I honestly thought you were talking about yourself.
I am very, extremely, super emotional.
And confrontational towards me.
Towards you, yeah. Towards other people, no. But toward you, I'll tell you about anything. I don't care.
So, obviously this is a very traumatic situation. She obviously went through hell. Now, did she actually see her husband and her father? Or was it just a memory, her brain trying to make sense of what was going on type thing? That's the only part that I have an issue with here, for lack of better words. Because I don't know about you, but my brain can conjure the weirdest things in the world. We talked about it in the last segment.
You can, but not necessarily in the stories I have today. But in plenty of other NDE stories, I've heard so many people with loved ones that have come back and told them they need to hang on or things like that. And I've always wondered whether that is a product of your own brain. I've wondered if it really is spirit, because it could be so many things, because you and both know that ghosts and spirits exist. But at the same time, we know that she had a traumatic brain injury, and that's a possibility. But she also was pretty freaking unconscious. She was more or less in a coma at that point. And she was actually a Jane Doe at the time.
Yeah. But the other thing, like, when you're in a coma, for the most part, we know you are in a dreamlike state. So your brain's still functioning at that point. It's just locked in almost. You can't wake up. I've had dreams where I've saw my mom and she's told me stuff. And my mom died back when I was 12 or 13, long time ago. So that's one of those things. Is it my mom coming back and telling me something in my dreams, or is it just my brain making this? And it'll be weird stuff. Although, no joke, I did have a dream that my mom came back and told me that my girlfriend was pregnant. And the next day we found out that she was pregnant with my first daughter.
Oh, that's awesome.
But now, was that some kind of supernatural thing, or was it just me picking up on signs that I didn't realize?
I don't know. Spirits are real.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're not real. I think there's various types of spirits. Was she actually seeing her husband and her father who had passed away, or was it just a memory that felt real?
Or even just manifestation to try and keep going.
And it could have been an exactly good
one. It could have been her calling to them in a state of panic.
And I'm not going to dismiss it because I don't know. But I will say most likely it's just her brain. And it could be like a survival instinct where her brain's making it seem real to give her the will to fight kind of thing.
Hey, it worked. It absolutely worked. And she's still with us, which is literally a miracle because she should have died several times. Several times.
I will give, because she's had a TBI and she's still dealing with that today, I will give it a 9. But for believability, 4.
You're so mean. I believe it.
By believability, I'm not saying I think she's lying or anything like that. I'm talking about believability, the proof that the afterlife exists.
That sounds better.
That's what, more what I meant.
You're mean.
No, I don't think any of these people are lying or make anything out of them. I'm not saying that.
I'm just making you look bad on purpose.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't need your help with that. Trust me.
Person number 4. And person number 4 has 2 near-death experiences. When I was in elementary school, we had one of those pools with the inflatable rings. You know, the cheap ones from Walmart that were like 3 feet deep. While I was swimming in it with the 2 crazy neighbor boys, we got the bright idea to put a gymnastics mat on top to make it like a lily pad to jump on. The mat was made of polyethylene foam, the same kind as pool noodles, so it floated perfectly on top. The mat was barely fit inside and went under the inflatable sides just enough to fit. Almost the whole pool was covered. We had the genius idea to try and swim under one little crack between the edge of the mat and the pool to the other side with the tiny crack to come through. The boys did it, no problem, but when it came to my turn, I couldn't find the opening. I was disoriented and the boys were jumping up and down playing. I swam all the way around the inside of the pool, searching desperately for air. Panicking, I beat on the mat trying to signal their attention, but they just kept jumping. I knew it was no use, and a sudden calm overcame me. My lungs burned and screamed for air, but my mind was calm. I had rushes of memories go through my head of playing outside, and mostly of my dad and how much I'd miss him. I thought of how it would hurt my family, and that I knew it would be okay. Time stood still, and I knew it was over. The paper would read, "Little girl dead after pool incident." All those thoughts slipped through my mind as the light around my eyes darkened slowly. It was the most calm I've ever been in my life. I sat there underneath the water, buried under the mat, and just let the darkness take over. The next thing I know, I feel a hand reaching down and grabbing my arm. I was thrust upward and into the light of day. No parents were around to know. If the eldest neighbor hadn't noticed my absence, I would have remained on the bottom. Gasping for air, I took it all in. The reality of what could have been but wasn't. And her next story is, while pregnant with my daughter, I suddenly became hypertensive and was rushed over a month early to the hospital because my blood pressure was uncontrollable with just oral medication. I was told that I had 24 hours before she would be born at 34 weeks. I was put on a mag drip, given steroids, and started on Pitocin to induce labor. It wasn't easy. Between two-handed repositioning of her because she was reaching her hand into the birth canal and grabbing the nurse's fingers, contractions with no medication, my idea, and not being able to leave the bed, I was miserable. Twice, they reached up to reposition her and put her arm down. The third time, she grabbed the doctor's hand in the birth canal, and I knew it was over. My shot at a natural birth like I did with my other two was done. My blood pressure wasn't even close to stable. It was still high. She was stressed and her heart rate kept dipping. They told me the time had come and an emergency C-section had to happen right then because she was getting stressed and my heart couldn't handle it because she was premature. They brought in an anesthesiologist to start an epidural or spinal block. At that point, I was too upset to care. They put the needle in and did what they needed to do. They left and my husband came back in the room. As I sat there, I started to feel faint. It was an odd feeling. My body got heavy and I couldn't think straight. I looked at my husband and said I was feeling dizzy. The nurse turned around as I fell backward onto the bed. I could see the world around me, but I couldn't understand well enough what was happening. The nurse ran the blood pressure cuff, and as soon as it finished, she hit the forbidden button on the wall. She reassured me that everything was okay, but that she was getting help because my blood pressure had fallen dramatically. I could hear voices and see blurs of people running by. My room was suddenly packed. I turned toward my husband and told him, "Please take care of the kids." He kept repeating, "It's going to be okay. You're all right," over and over. The edges of my world darkened with each passing second. That familiar calm fell over me. I thought of my two boys and how much I'd missed them. I thought of my husband and how amazing he had been to me in years together. The memories flood my consciousness. In my mind, I said goodbye one last time. It was all my brain could muster. I lost all feeling and everything was dark. I wasn't scared. I wasn't sad. I was just at peace. For what seemed like hours, I stayed there until everyone around me came flooding back in. They had given me epinephrine to bring my heart back up. The world came back into focus, and I could see my husband there still holding my hand, the crowd of people still rushing around me. They wheeled me off to surgery, and the rest is history.
So, we'll start with that one, because I got a lot of thoughts on the second one. Honestly, this one is the one that made me, like, the most squirmish. Drowning is the one way that I think would be the worst way to die.
Yeah, it's literally terrifying.
So, yeah, I could feel that one. And that's one reason I like hearing these things, because feeling the sense of calmness wash over is interesting. This one doesn't really talk about what anything supernatural, really.
Just that strange peace acceptance, which in itself is weirdly terrifying to me.
Yeah, but it seems logical because you can't change it, so why fight it type thing? But at the same time, also, obviously our brains aren't logical, especially in stressful situations. So it's weird to me that someone would get that sense of calmness.
Yeah. And a lot of people said the same thing. Like, in that exact moment, they just felt strangely calm.
Yeah. I'll say that's the most intriguing part to me about all these is when someone gets that sense of calmness, because what does it mean? Why are they almost accepting their fate, but then they still come back?
Exactly. What is the force that brings you back?
Yeah. Is it just the luck of the draw? Is it something else? Because in the other ones, they pretty much fought to come back. And that's why near-death experiences in general fascinate me, because they're so different, which kind of makes me suspect that a lot of them are just because every person is different.
Exactly. And what's blowing my mind is that through all of these, and I had a couple that I didn't include as well, I wanted a bunch of different ones. And a couple of them were fairly similar, but I wanted things that were different. And all of these, while there are a couple similarities, they're also very different. And I think that says a lot about death to me. While everybody has a different experience, at the same time, almost all of these people felt that strange calm. And what does that mean?
Yeah, it fascinates me because it's like, is this something supernatural or paranormal? Supernatural and paranormal don't really seem to fit.
Right? I don't know.
But technically, it would be supernatural.
I understand where you're going with that.
I think in the most part, we can't study near-death experiences just because it would be unethical to try to kill somebody and then bring them back. And typically when someone goes through this, they're not in a position to be studied. So you got to go on the aftermath. Then that just listen to the story. You can't really study the actual process. And they have attempted to, because I know that like people who are terminally ill will consent to being studied while they're dying. And even consent to being brought back or try to be brought back. But even then, I don't think it's really the same because I think like terminally ill people are in a different category.
I do, because I just feel like that's different than drowning or a car accident. Yeah. It's not, I don't want to say it's not as traumatic, but it's not necessarily as physically traumatic.
I think in a sense, it's more traumatic, but it's over a longer time.
Yes.
All these other ones are traumatic, but they're traumatic in such a short time. Being terminally ill is probably more traumatic long-term and overall, but it's just so spread out that it... Because that's one thing I've thought about, too. Would it be better to know that you're dying or not to know?
I don't know. I don't know if I would want to know. That's scary.
Part of me doesn't want to know, but part of me does want to know.
Get your affairs in order.
Yeah. So drowning sucks. It would be the worst way to go. My ex, when she was giving birth to my oldest daughter, same thing happened to her when she got the epidural. Her blood pressure bottomed out, which I'm finding is more common than not. But then going through the traumaticness of baby in distress and having to switch from a natural birth to a C-section.
It's just all of it's terrifying.
Though it is. And it's super traumatic, super stressful, which is why it's even more interesting to me that she felt the same relief. Or feeling a relief or whatever. Because childbirth in general is freaking traumatic, I think.
Incredibly. Yeah. Which is why I'm never going through that. No, thank you.
I didn't give birth, but I was there, and yeah, it was traumatic for me. I can only imagine how traumatic it was for people who actually have to give birth. Although, it's funny, like, when the father's in there giving birth, at least the doctor for me said, if you pass out, you're on your own. Which I think is funny, but yeah. This one's interesting. I can't really give a rating on proof, because obviously it doesn't really admit to proof.
No, it's just that feeling of peace and comfort.
But since she went through two of the probably worst events possible, childbirth and drowning, I'll give it a 7 for interest in this.
How nice of you.
Proof, since our proof would be if there's not applicable in this situation.
Fair. The last person I will discuss, person 5, is a little different than the others because she was clairvoyant before the incident. She was beat nearly to death by a neighbor, and while she didn't necessarily see anything during her NDE, she was out of her body, and after her near-death experience, her clairabilities completely opened up, and she is no longer just clairvoyant. She is also clairaudient, clairsentient, clairalliant, and claircognizant, meaning all the senses are open. And if you don't know what that means, clairvoyance is all-seeing, claircognizance is all-knowing, clairaudience is all-hearing, clairsentience is all-feeling, and clairalliance is all-smelling.
Okay, I will start out by saying that I'm going to be as nice as possible on this one. However, clairvoyance is something that I very much do not believe in.
I will say this person I have inadvertently used for, I'm going to say, psychic services, but not in a way that you would expect. And I have 100% confidence in her abilities.
Yeah, so anytime I hear psychic or anything, first thing I think of is the Mentalist. Friggin' awesome show.
It is an awesome show, but I fully believe her. Would I believe everybody? Probably not, but I do believe her.
Well, to be fair, you're not the best judge of characters.
Fuck right off.
You like me, so obviously not the best judge of characters.
I don't really like you, though. You're just my podcast partner.
Yeah.
I put up with you.
Which is more than most people do.
It really is, though.
But I don't know. Obviously, I'm super skeptical of any kind of claims of psychic abilities. I'm not going to fully dismiss them, but unfortunately, there's been so many people who are proven to be scammers who do this.
Oh, I agree. And they make it look terrible for the people who truly are.
So I will be completely transparent on this one. This one automatically starts out with a negative 10.
You are a horrible person. Sometimes I want to punch you. Actually, it's most of the time I just hold back.
True. So, I just want to be 100% transparent on this. Now, out-of-body experience is not something that necessarily is unheard of, especially in near-death experiences. I would say probably one of the most common themes.
It's very common. It was the only one out of the stories that I have gathered, but just stories I've heard over the years.
Yeah.
I've heard plenty of them.
So, I would say that part is the most believable part. And then, obviously, the other clair, whatever, cognizant, whatever. I've never even heard of those until today.
It's a thing. It's legit.
I would say the better way to believe is people believe that it's legit.
Like I said, there are plenty of times when I believe it's not, yeah. And people are completely faking it, but I 100% I believe her.
And again, I'm not necessarily saying that she's lying. I definitely think that she believes this is the case. Now, whether that's actually truth or not is another question entirely that I'm not going to get into because I said I'd be nice.
Better be nice.
I'm sorry. There is certain things that I just can't believe without evidence. This is one of them. And even honestly, the paranormal is the same way, except for the only difference between these two is I've actually experienced paranormal.
Oh, and that's probably the reason why you're so skeptical of this, because I have experienced from a few people. I don't know if psychic is the correct term. I believe there's psychics and mediums, and I'm not going to lie to you. I know there's a difference, but I can't remember the difference right now.
Mediums more talk to spirits.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Psychics don't really.
But regardless, I've been to a couple, and I'm pretty sure one of them was completely just BS, straight BS. But I've also talked to person number 5 and had nothing but completely real experiences, things that there's just no way she could know.
Yeah, I don't know. I bring up The Mentalist because that is actually a really good show that kind of shows like some of these tactics that these people use. And a lot of it is just the ability to read people and depend on how good they are at reading. Bringing up another show, Criminal Minds. You can read someone pretty well and you can make assumptions that turn out to be accurate. Now, if they can do that, you're going to believe them. And even if there are some inaccuracies, most people are just going to dismiss those. So, like I said, I'm not going to fully dismiss it. I don't believe it at all, but that's just me.
I believe it, at least with this one, which is why I was excited to hear her story, because I knew, and this is a very recent NDE, like the last couple months.
I don't know. The whole being all-knowing, all type thing. That's honestly like my biggest problem with religions is no person can be all-knowing. You can be pretty good at reading things. You can know stuff, but no one can be all-knowing. And there seems to be a fine line. The more intelligent you are, the less emotionally intelligent you are.
That's entirely true.
So there's always a drawback is basically what I'm trying to get at. I don't find the whole clairvoyance thing believable. Like I said, I don't know much about the other things to even comment on those really, because first time I ever heard of them.
Basically the same thing, but with different senses.
Yeah. Now, obviously, I do believe that your senses can become more powerful because it happens all the time, especially with blind people.
And that's kind of what happens. What fascinates me is before the incident, she was just clairvoyant. And after the incident, everything opened up.
I'm not going to dismiss that part because obviously senses can become more powerful. Usually it's when you lose a different sense. But obviously if it can happen, then it could probably happen at other times too. Basically the clairvoyance, the psychic medium, whatever abilities is the part that I have the most issue with.
Mr. Skeptic.
Just the way I am.
And yet you believe in ghosts.
Because I've actually seen a ghost. That's the difference, though. I've never once had a medium or a psychic ever predict anything more than just basic luck.
That makes sense, but I also haven't had anybody predict the future for me.
Like I said, I'm not going to fully dismiss it.
We'll get you to a real one. That'll be a cool episode.
If you can have her come on, we'll have a full episode on it. And if she can get more than 90% accurate about me, I may even say that it's real.
You heard it first.
But she won't.
Lies.
Can't be anything that I've ever said on one of those podcasts either.
No, dear God. That'll be an interesting... We'll make a believer out of you.
We'll see. But I said the believability or the proof was negative 10. I will be nice. I will go up to 0.
You're so mean.
That's being nice.
You're so mean.
That went up a whole 10 points.
Oh my God. I cannot with you.
Fine. I'll go up to 1.
You know what? But fine. It's in the positive numbers. I'll take it.
That's the highest that I'll go. But again, I'm not saying that she's lying. I think that she does believe all this. I just don't believe that it's accurate.
I think you're not accurate.
I am not. But I will say it's interesting.
So, where do you go when you die? Is death to be feared? We probably won't know until we pass on ourselves, but until then, we will surely seek out the answers. Thank you for joining us on this journey through all things mysterious. Your engagement is what makes this so rewarding. If you've enjoyed uncovering these mysteries with us, please show your support by liking, subscribing, and following us on your favorite listening platform. For more intriguing content and ways to stay connected, don't forget to check us out on our links in the description below. Your involvement is the key to unlocking more thrilling mysteries.
As always, we keep you guessing.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.